My name is Raleigh Burley, and you are tuned to KDNK. Welcome to another episode of Heart Song. I am joined in the studio by Laurel Smith. Hi, Laurel.
Hi, how's it going?
And on the phone, we are joined by Sylvia Johnson. Hello, Sylvia.
Hi, Raleigh.
And each of you are filmmakers with local ties who are going to be presenting a little film series this upcoming Wednesday at the Crystal Theater. And by film series, I mean that we're showing a couple of short films, both to do with immigration. The name of the event is Seeking Refuge. And we are also going to have Claire Noon, who is an immigration lawyer, speaking about her experience on the border. So to start off, I'd like to know, how did this come together?
I was coming back to Carbondale and really wanted to do a screening there. We've been rolling out the refugee film that I made in a variety of different community screenings, and the True Network Sanctuary Movement in Carbondale was interested in doing an event, and then Laurel was interested in participating, and it has grown from there.
I heard about it from the Sanctuary Network here. I've been volunteering and doing kind of content creation for them to promote Sanctuary and to educate people. And so when I heard about this project, it seemed right up my alley to be able to contribute and help promote it.
So a little bit about each of the films. Sylvia, your film is called Refugee. How would you pronounce the title? I see that it's refuge and then within parentheses another E.
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's a play on words that works better in writing, but it's refugee.
Uh-huh. And what is this film about?
That film tells the story of two asylum seekers who fled violence in their home country and made the journey all the way up the Americas from Brazil to the U.S.-Mexico border, presented themselves asking for asylum, and were both incarcerated in for-profit immigrant detention facilities. One was in for about 6.5 months, and the other was in for 9 months before they won their asylum cases and were released. So it tells the story of their journey.
So it's a documentary?
It is a documentary, yes.
And how did you come into contact with these two individuals?
I work part-time for the Santa Fe Dreamers Project. It's an immigration legal services organization that has been providing legal services at the Cibolo County Detention Facility, where they were detained since February of 2017. And I had been going in that capacity, providing translation and just legal orientation, and befriended some of the people that I met there. And these two guys that are featured in the film were some of the first, and some of the only, actually, to win their cases and be released from the facility. And I knew that when they got out, they would be willing and wanting to tell their story. So that's where it came from.
Now, the existence of for-profit prisons and what that means isn't widely spoken about. We don't hear about it so often. There was an article I read in High Country News a few months ago. Could you go into a little bit their experience of going through that system?
Sure. For-profit prisons are horrendous, in my opinion. I had no idea that this was happening either until I was at that facility. And then as I started to tell people about what I was seeing, I realized that most Americans have no idea that this is what's happening to people presenting themselves at our border. They're run by two primary companies, one called Geo Group, and the other one is now called CoreCivic, formerly the Correctional Corporation of America. And they're prison models that are run on a for-profit model. So they make money by having bodies in beds, essentially. And at this point, 70% of immigrants are detained in for-profit facilities. To give you a little bit of background, an example on the facility where these guys were held that are featured in the film, it was a federal correctional facility that was closed in October of 2016 because the conditions were so bad that there had been several inmate deaths. And then immediately after Trump took office in 2017, it was reopened under a new contract with ICE, this time to house immigrants. Same facility, same guards, same conditions, just a different population.
Now, I've been told that many immigrants, it's not an issue that goes through our criminal justice system. It's a whole other thing, and they don't have as many rights because of it. Could you explain a little bit?
Correct. They're still going through their legal process, and so they are not granted the same protections and rights that a U.S. citizen would be granted. And they are, many of them have not committed any crime, are in violation of no law. For example, the two men featured in the film didn't even cross the border illegally. They walked to the port of entry, presented themselves asking for asylum, and then were incarcerated, which is a complete violation of international human rights agreements. And this is happening across the board. Even the people who have crossed the border, it's a civil violation. And in the Western Hemisphere, it's actually one of the only ways to engage our political asylum system. So they are now being incarcerated without being in violation of the law.
How is it that a for-profit prison could make money by keeping people imprisoned?
They have contracts with, in this case, ICE, that they have a certain quota, a number of beds to be filled, and they are paid basically on the basis of keeping a certain number of bodies in beds per night. All of the parallel industries also make a lot of money around this. Anything from transportation, the trucks that move people in and out of these facilities, the food companies that provide food, medical or lack of medical care, all of those companies are benefiting from having people in these facilities. And I believe the company, I've heard numbers anywhere between $56 to $72 a night per person in a bed is what they make, whereas the county that is has contracted for the facility makes 50 cents per person per night. So the financial incentive is definitely for the corporation. And on top of that, many of the people who are held in these facilities are then working for a dollar a day. And so it is essentially slave labor happening inside the facilities.
And is it tax dollars that are paying for these corporations to house people?
When it functions under an ICE contract, yes. ICE is a federal agency that is run on our tax dollars, and these contracts are paid for through those dollars.
Could you explain a little bit your journey, how you came to be connected with immigration as a passion that you want to raise awareness about?
Yeah. I'm a non-traditional immigrant. I was born in Bolivia and raised in South and Central America. And I think the thing that hit me the hardest, I ended up working with this Santa Fe Dreamers project sort of by chance and was exposed to a lot of the injustices that were happening. And the thing that hit me the hardest when I was in the prison initially and working with a lot of these people is realizing that they had either lived in and come from or passed through many of the countries that I had grown up in as a child and my family had also fled from. And essentially, based on the color of my skin and the place of my passport, I have been granted protections that they have not, and it could be so easy to be in their shoes. So I think that's driven me to want to help raise awareness about what's happening. It could happen to any of us.
Now, another film touches a little more relatedly to people who are already in the country, who have made their lives. This is your film, Laurel Smith, Vida en Santuario. And it tells the story of Araceli Velasquez, who is a Salvadorian in sanctuary in Denver right now, right?
Mm-hmm. She's coming up on her two-year anniversary this August of living in sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you come to know Araceli?
I began documenting sanctuary here in Carbondale when Sandra Lopez was in sanctuary for the 10 months that she lived with the Two Rivers Unitarian Universalist congregation supporting her. And I continued to document sanctuary with all the women in all four locations, from Mancos to Boulder to Denver. And I found Araceli's story really, really compelling. She has a little bit of a different situation than the other three women in that she's the only one that is seeking asylum. And she fled El Salvador in 2010 because she was afraid for her life. She was a teenager. She crossed the border by herself, and she had, a lot of the traumas that a lot of immigrants face when making this journey. And when she got here, she was detained upon her arrival, and she's been trying to fight for her asylum case ever since.
How did she become connected with the church in Denver that would then give her sanctuary?
I think she had been, ICE came to deport her, and at the time she had been 7 months pregnant, and so they gave her a 1 year stay of removal. And when that ended, she was at risk of deportation again. And so that's when she chose to enter sanctuary. I'm not sure, but I don't believe she was connected with the church before that. But she does have two congregations share the same building. So she does have two congregations supporting her. And that's been a real blessing for her.
Mm-hmm. And we know that Sandra Lopez was living with her young daughter, Areli, who was about 3 years old in the time that Sandra Lopez was in sanctuary. Is Araceli also living with her newborn child?
Yeah, she lives with her three boys, and she's actually currently 7 months pregnant.
Oh.
And she's, her family is really hoping, and her advocates are really hoping that she will be able to leave sanctuary before she gives birth, because the basement of a church is no place for, no place for a newborn, and it's no place to give birth. But right now that's what she's facing.
Now, in bringing this event to the Crystal Theater in Carbondale, clearly raising awareness is the primary motivation. Beyond raising awareness, I saw that following the film, there will be sort of a get-together at Carbondale Beer Works. Where do you hope to see this go beyond the films?
I'm hoping that people... once they become, people will take it upon themselves to become more educated, and that they will become involved in pressuring our legislator to take action. When Araceli came here, she came here illegally because there was no legal pathway for her. And if she stayed in El Salvador, she felt like she was going to be killed. So she didn't have options. And to come here and have to fight, almost a decade for her right to asylum, has been the only pathway forward for her. And our legislative representatives have the opportunity to change that. We can put laws in Colorado that will protect. We'll protect our immigrants, and the four women in sanctuary have put together a pathway forward. It was introduced, but it did not get taken to a vote in the last session, and so we're going to continue to put that forward. It's called the People's Resolution, and I hope that people will become more educated about what they can do to push forward change in our laws to protect people that deserve to be protected.
And my understanding, the People's Resolution takes specific cases because immigration is so complicated and so case by case. It looks at these particular cases of the women in sanctuary in and out the four women who kind of came up with this, and then it resolves certain parts of their cases, knowing that resolving those single aspects will also help other people.
The specifics in each of these women's cases really represents tens of thousands of Coloradans. And it has a overarching reach that will affect far more than just these four women.
Mm-hmm. Sylvia, could you give us a little more detail about the Santa Fe Dreamers Project?
Yeah, definitely. And I'd like to fill in a little bit about the action that we're focused on as well. Santa Fe Dreamers Project is a team of lawyers and volunteers that has expanded rapidly over the last couple of years. We serve the immigrant community in New Mexico and all over the Southwest. Both people who are non-detained can get free legal services through that organization, as well as many of these asylum seekers who are detained in detention centers. All of our services are free to the immigrants, and there's a huge need for these services, unfortunately, at this time. The other thing I want to just mention in terms of action points that we're really focusing on is one tactic to push back on the private prisons and incarceration of immigrants is the idea of divestment from these for-profit prisons. Divestment is a movement that has grown a lot over the last decade, which essentially is moving money away from corporations that invest in things that don't value life or the environment. It's been quite successful in the fossil fuel industry and is gaining a lot of traction around private prisons. As we've done more research, we've realized that many retirement funds, many teachers' pension funds, have holdings in these two for-profit corporations, CoreCivic and Geo Group, and there's a lot of power, especially at a time when our federal policy is very hostile. I think hitting them where it hurts in the financial part of it is speaking loud, and actually as a result of some of the citizen mobilizing around divesting from for-profit prisons in the last year, both Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan Chase, who are two of the biggest underwriters of the loans for these facilities, have announced that they're going to be making some changes. And so there's continued pressure needed around this divestment movement in order to make it so toxic that these corporations can no longer continue to profit off of people's bodies.
I'm speaking with Sylvia Johnson and Laurel Smith, two filmmakers with local ties who are bringing their short films to the Crystal Theater on Wednesday, May 29th. The show is at 5:30 and also involves Claire Noon, who is a immigration lawyer that's been working on the border, particularly around children who have been detained and separated from their families. Anything else that you two would really like to touch on while we're together, or any questions you have? I understand you're now meeting for the first time.
It's always great to meet other filmmakers that are so passionate about these incredibly pertinent social justice issues. I think that as a media maker, this has felt like the best way that I've been able to advocate for causes that are so important to me. And so it's really interesting to hear, to learn about where you come from and what's led you to be so passionate.
Yeah, likewise. And I'm really looking forward to bringing this conversation to the Roaring Fork Valley and to having the opportunity to show the film at the Crystal. It's one of my favorite screening venues ever. So I'm really looking forward to the dialogue that can come from this event. And the other thing that I'll mention is for people like Araceli, who's featured in Laurel's film, who have come in the last year or two, many of these mothers and women with children are now being detained under the system. So the stories of these women who are in sanctuary, for many like them, if they have come in the last 2 years, they are being detained in facilities similar to that these men are detained in the film that I made. So it's all linked and very troubling what's happening to people who are here asking for help.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that donations will be taken at the door as people arrive. However, they can also get tickets online in advance. What is the website where they can do that?
Yeah, I think the easiest place for people to go for tickets is the Crystal Theater website. It's the event is listed on there. It's called Seeking Refuge. It's on Wednesday, May 29th at 5:30, and there's a link for advance tickets, so tickets can be purchased ahead of time, and those funds go to benefit services for immigrants.
So they benefit the Santa Fe Dreamers Project that you're involved with, Sylvia, as well as Araceli directly and her sanctuary movement in Denver, and then also Claire Noon's Border Project.
Correct, yeah.
So it doesn't really feel great to face these kind of human rights issues. I mean, it can be incredibly heavy. Could you each speak to a little bit of what keeps you motivated and involved and passionate and hopeful?
Yeah, I can definitely do that. The thing that really keeps me motivated are the incredible, resilient human beings that I meet on a regular basis who are wonderful, kind, intelligent people, who many of whom are just trying to survive, and what they have overcome and what they have lived through to try to be in a safe place definitely encourages me to keep trying to help fight for their protection.
I think I first became interested in immigration issues when I was a teacher here at Crystal River Elementary School, and I got to interact with so many families that had fled so much trauma and came here just to give a better life to their children, and they'd made so many sacrifices to do it. And the longer I've been in this community, the better I get to know my neighbors. This is a real issue that affects Carbondale. It deeply affects Carbondale. And I don't want to lose my neighbors. I don't think what's happening to them is just. And getting to know people like Araceli and Sandra Lopez has really inspired me to fight for them and fight for those who have been pushed into the shadows and have lost their voice because we've taken it away from them.
Well, while I have you on the phone, Sylvia, I was curious about the status of DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. I see in the name of the Santa Fe Dreamers Project, perhaps a reference to the DREAM Act. And we know that the Trump administration decided to end DACA. Where do things stand now?
Yeah, good question. If it is sort of in limbo land is where all of that stands. Effectively, people who currently have DACA have been allowed to continue renewing their existing DACA, but no new applicants are allowed at this time. And it's unclear at what point that may or may not be fully terminated. So it's everyone who is a dreamer is still in this limbo space of having some protection and some rights, but not full protection or rights. And people who previously would have qualified are not able to apply for new protection. I feel like it's an issue that is still really, really important, but it has faded a little bit in the national conversation as things around the border have become more hostile and there are more outright egregious things happening. But it's still a very important piece because the Dreamers, for a large part, grew up in the U.S. and our neighbors are working in our communities, deserve to be able to be here and feel safe.
So putting a human face to these issues that we hear about, the dialogue around immigration, and really kind of humanizing the ways policies are very dramatically affecting human lives today, and and the way things are going. Thank you both so much for joining me. Once again, this event is at the Crystal Theater on Wednesday, May 29th at 5:30. It is hosted by Sanctuary Unidos, and Reverend Shauna Foster of the Two Rivers Unitarian Universalists is going to be moderating. Is there anything else in our final moments that you would each like to add?
Just that I'd love to see people there. Come join us to see the films and engage in conversation.
And thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this event with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Laurel Smith and Sylvia Johnson.